You've heard the headlines. Get some perspective now with Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Hey, good morning and a happy Friday to you. We're going to go ahead and jump into the show with the latest news coming out of New York. Harvey Weinstein is facing justice.
The Lead. Brought to you by Burge Ford off the US 60 and Mesa Drive.
Media mogul, big-time Hollywood exec, or former, shall I say, Harvey Weinstein walked into an NYPD precinct today, walked out handcuffed, and then into a courtroom. He is now facing multiple charges of rape, criminal sex act, sex abuse, and sexual misconduct stemming from two cases. The judge set a $10 million bond. He posted $1 million of that and is now out.
Yeah, this case, and I think it is important that maybe in many of these, if you want to call it the Me Too movement or this wave that is sweeping, I still say there are degrees, and Harvey Weinstein is certainly at one of the extremes of the degrees where it's not just inappropriate behavior or comments made. He is being accused of, charged with, rape. That's serious.
Harvey Weinstein posted $1 million cash bail, was fitted with a GPS monitoring device, and told to stay away from the two women whose accusations led to criminal charges. Weinstein's attorney said the once powerful producer has entered a plea of not guilty and fully expects to be exonerated. Weinstein is charged with raping a woman and forcing a second woman to perform oral sex. Manhattan District Attorney Cy Vance said he thanks the brave survivors who came forward.
Yeah, to me, Bruce, this is a very bittersweet day. It is sweet because Harvey Weinstein may get his comeuppance. There is at least a chance now that this monster is going to be held accountable for his actions. And yes, folks, I know he has not been found guilty in a court of law of anything, but in the Pamela Court of Public Opinion, he is guilty as the day is long. Somebody who was accused by not one, not two, not three, not four. I'm not going to wait until I get to the point of 80. Yes, 80 women who have accused him of variety and varying degrees of sexual harassment, sexual assault, sexual intimidation, sexual abuse. Yet, where there is that much smoke, there is most definitely a fire.
His attorney has an interesting defense.
Yeah, that's the sweet part for me, though. The bitter part, these two women.
The ones who are literally had to come forward.
Yeah. So while there have been 80 accusations, this case in particular in the state of New York is involving two women.
Right.
Those two women are so brave because they are going to have to take the stand. If this case moves forward, his attorney thinks he's going to be exonerated and get this thrown out. Right. Yeah. And pigs might fly. These two women are going to have to be put on the stand. And you can only imagine.
They should.
How they are going to be ripped apart. Why? Because we have history to show us that that's what happens to women who proceed in these kinds of cases.
I think there's a change, though. And I think that there is, certainly on the part of juries, certainly on the part of judges, that if you're going to attack a woman and attack her character who is coming forward alleging sexual abuse, I think in the Bill Cosby trial we saw it, people are not as tolerant of the idea. Let's deal with the facts and quit trying to paint this person like what were they wearing argument. It's become a joke.
There's going to still be some character issues and everything that these individuals have done, they're going to try to paint as some sort of excuse for Harvey Weinstein's behavior. But you brought up his attorney.
Yeah.
And his attorney had some interesting things to say this
morning. He's making up excuses, isn't he?
To say the least.
Mr. Weinstein will enter a plea of not guilty. We intend to move very quickly to dismiss these charges. We believe that they are constitutionally flawed. We believe that they are not factually supported by the evidence, and we believe that at the end of the process, Mr. Weinstein will be exonerated.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
His attorney.
That's wishful thinking.
Yeah, his attorney talked about and in some way, shape, or form used the excuse of the casting couch, Pamela.
Oh, yeah. You want to hear that one?
That you've heard the terminology. If you're not familiar with it, the casting couch, how female actresses get their jobs. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Come on in my office and close the door.
Yeah. When I was driving into work this morning, when I heard his attorney speak, and my jaw just dropped when I heard this.
My job is not to defend behavior. My job is to defend something that is criminal behavior. Bad behavior. Mr. Weinstein did not invent the casting couch in Hollywood, and to the extent that there is bad behavior in that industry, that is not what this is about. Bad behavior is not on trial in this case.
That is pathetic.
Okay, there is some truth
disgusting.
In that.
Disgusting.
Harvey Weinstein did not invent the casting couch. He just raped women on it. That's like I didn't invent the knife. My client just stabbed people with it. Like if that was my attorney, we'd be having a different conversation. Going, really? That's your defense? Your defense is
right.
I didn't invite
the because that
casting?
That is they're starting to lay the groundwork for what their defense is. So
the prosecutors in this case
are going, great, that's your defense. Here's another defense, and this is the likely defense that most defense attorneys take when it comes to rape cases.
Many of these allegations are long overdue, quite frankly, having been made about events that are alleged to have occurred many years ago.
Yeah.
They were not reported to the police at the time these events occurred, and I anticipate that the women who have made these allegations, when subjected to cross-examination, in the event we even get that far, that the charges will not be believed by 12 people, assuming we get 12 fair people who are not consumed by the movement that seems to have overtaken this case.
There's a lot to get up and down there. When he say when these women are subjected to cross-examination, let me refer you back to what I said at the very beginning. They will be put on
trial.
Why
did you wait? And I don't buy the argument. Why did you wait so long to come forward, especially when you understand And if you don't, it's fine. How powerful Harvey Weinstein is in the media industry in Hollywood, and how basically coming forward and making an accusation like this means you will never work in this industry again.
Take Harvey Weinstein out of the equation, Bruce. When it comes to rapes and sexual assault, police estimate there have been studies done that estimate out of 100, 77 are not reported to police. Why is that? There is so much shame associated with it. There is fear of the consequences. Harvey Weinstein being powerful. Some women have low self-esteem. Yes, we all wish that women were strong, powerful, and hear me roar. But there is low self-esteem, especially when something like this happens.
I'm only going to push back on one thing. If you are unwilling to be a witness, if you are unwilling to testify to the crimes another person did, in my world, regardless of that crime, you don't get to just say it and say, but I don't want to be involved.
But no, these two women are testifying.
These ones are, and they
are
coming
forward. So for him to come forward and saying, because they didn't report it back then.
Yeah, that's irrelevant.
The fear of not being believed, the self-blame, the concerns about the Justice Department. Those are all the reasons why only 23 out of 100 rapes are reported to police.
Yeah. There is, listen, this case will move forward. There appears to be plenty of evidence backing this up. And it strikes me like it's playing out a little bit like the Bill Cosby cases. Do you see some similarities?
The one major similarity that I'm seeing between the Cosby case and the Harvey Weinstein case is that the attorney for Harvey Weinstein came out this morning and said the sex was consensual, which means the prosecution isn't going to have to prove that there was some sort of intimate encounter. Mm-hmm. The defense is already saying, yeah, that happened, but it was consensual. Now, that worked for Bill Cosby in his first trial.
In the first trial.
In the second trial, not so much.
Yeah, and listen, Harvey Weinstein deserves his day in court. He deserves a vigorous defense, but it seems that already the defense laying out the idea. And again, I find it like pretty disgusting to hear a defense attorney say Harvey Weinstein didn't invent the casting couch.
Chime in on this. We want to hear from you.
It's disgusting.
602-200-2733. 602-200-2733. It's our open mic line. It's open 24/7. We give you 24 seconds to sound off. And it's brought to you by Carol Royce with Keller Williams Realty East Valley.
So, Alexa, play KTAR. Okay, I do that just because it upsets a few people. But your Amazon connected device, your Alexa, your Dot, your whatever it might be, you know that it is constantly listening. I mean, that's how it knows to turn on when you talk to it. But is it recording what you're saying? And what if it takes what you're saying and sends it to other people? Can Alexa butt dial? We're going to talk about that right after Bob McClay gets us all caught up with our top stories.
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Just a bit of a heads up, in about 15 minutes or so, 9:30, we're going to have DPS head Colonel Frank Milstead in, and he's brought a special guest with us today. You are going to want to stick around to hear about Trooper Diaz and the types of things this young DPS trooper has already been involved in patrolling I-10 west of the valley.
It's incredible.
It sounds like a movie, quite honestly, the types of things Trooper Diaz has seen, been involved in, and to hear it from him. He's a very humble person. We're going to try to pull some of this out of him, but it is amazing, and that's coming up at 9:30. So they're becoming more and more prevalent. We have a variety of connected devices. They have smart refrigerators now, which is fantastic. I need one. It's on the list. You can get a smart washer and dryer. You can get a variety of different things where your home is interconnected and voice activated. Oh, you may have that on your phone with Siri. You may have it in your car. And you may have one of these Amazon devices, the Echo, the Dot, the Show,
yeah,
and Alexa, your personal digital assistant.
Bruce loves them.
Oh,
I hate them.
I have three of them.
I refuse to have one in my home. And here's another reason why I will not have one in my home. Take a listen.
A Portland, Oregon woman asking Amazon how its Alexa could have recorded a conversation her family was having and then sent that recording to a random person on her contact list. Amazon says Alexa misinterpreted a background conversation that it thought was a send message request.
Sorry, I'm having trouble understanding.
Danielle, who didn't want her last name to be used, said she felt invaded and unplugged every Alexa in her home. She had one in every room. Now she wants a refund for her devices, which she says Amazon representatives have been unwilling to do.
So let's paint the picture here for you. Danielle and her husband, they're hanging out.
Let's say
the kitchen. Okay. All right, she says she's got one of these devices in every room. So let's just go with the kitchen.
I got one too.
And they're having a conversation. Luckily, the conversation, Bruce, was about hardwood floors.
They were discussing, like, improving the flooring in their house.
But if you're talking to your husband in the kitchen, it could be about a variety of anything. All right?
Yeah.
Not long after the conversation takes place, she gets a message from her husband's colleague saying, unplug your Alexa device right now. What had happened was Alexa kicked on, started recording the conversation between Danielle and her husband, and then sent it to what was a random contact.
Just picked up, yeah.
Happened to be her husband's colleague.
Yeah, and so this guy gets a audio file of these two people.
His coworker and his wife talking about
flooring.
You're kidding! Like, are you serious? You're lucky you're talking about hardwood floor. Could you imagine if they were talking about a husband taking a new job somewhere? And then that gets sent to a colleague. This opens up a whole can of worms.
Oh, there is some worms.
And another reason why I refuse to have one of these in my home. Now, Danielle had called Amazon. The engineer went through all the logs, and the customer service said, yep, we saw exactly what you told us. It happened exactly like you said. Sorry. They apologized 15 times in a matter of 30 minutes. Now, there is an apparent explanation. You want to hear the explanation Amazon's given?
Yeah.
All right. Echo woke up due to a word in the background conversation sounding like Alexa.
Oh, okay.
Then the subsequent conversation was heard as a send message request, at which point Alexa said out loud, to whom? At which point, the background conversation was interpreted as a name in the customer's contact list.
I'm laughing.
Alexa then asked out loud, contact name, right? Alexa then interpreted background conversation as, right.
Why not?
As unlikely as this string of events is, we are evaluating options to make this case even less likely. There is a lot of interpreting by Alexa going on here, and I think
the other suspect aspect of
all of this is, yeah, nobody ever heard Alexa ask these questions.
Yeah.
And so it's just, these prompts by Alexa apparently went absolutely unnoticed by Danielle and her husband talking about hardwood floor in the kitchen. Alexa's always listening, folks. Don't want one of these things. This is why.
Yeah. Wait, and listen, I think, again, we're on the beginning parts of this technology and, you know, the whole idea about how it's going to work. I will acknowledge that from time to time, Alexa will just talk to me and I don't know why, which I do find funny.
All right.
Not
so
scary. Funny.
We have this story. Remember when Alexa was just randomly laughing at people?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we have that. And then there was also like a cybersecurity firm that also said they could trick Alexa into becoming like a bugging device. Yeah. Right. Question for you, folks. Are you ready to pull the plug on your personal assistant, Alexa? We want to hear from you on the open mic line. 602-200-2733. 602-200-2733. If you have one, you're ready to pull the plug.
No.
And if not, what would it take for you to get to the point where you would pull the plug?
Send me yours.
I want to hear from you on the open mic line.
There's a few rooms in my house that don't have Alexa in them yet. Got a few more.
Someone sent one to me. I'll give it to you.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that.
Ain't going to my house.
Colonel Frank Milstead, the director of Arizona DPS, and Trooper Diaz are going to join us in the studio next. Trooper Diaz is straight out of Hollywood casting. You are going to want to hear his stories, and those are coming up next.
KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
And a good morning to you. A happy Friday. You know what we like to do? At least once a month, we invite Colonel Milstead, the director of Arizona DPS in studio. Colonel Milstead, happy Friday to you.
Yeah, thank you. And I know we're out of sync on our schedule this time around, but I appreciate you guys taking the time and the opportunity so we could be in here with you today.
We enjoy having you in, and we learn a lot when you're in here. And actually, it was this last visit, Pamela, that we learned some pretty fantastic stories.
Yeah, we'll get into like telling stories. And I really value the stories that you can tell us. And you can share with us what's happening in law enforcement around the entire state of Arizona. Things that most people don't get the chance to hear.
Yeah.
And you shared a story with us. And I think it all started with me asking you, how long have you been in law enforcement?
Yeah, and it's troubling, but this is year 34.
34 years.
Okay, yes. So Colonel Frank Milstead has been in law enforcement for 34 years. And sir, how many times have you had to fire your weapon?
Never.
Okay.
Other than at the range practice.
Sure, sure.
But never in anger.
Never in the line of duty.
Got it.
And then you started to share a story with us of a trooper, a relatively new trooper on your force, who has had to use his weapons a couple of times to protect the people of Arizona, Trooper Diaz. And I said, we got to get this guy on. I
got to
talk to
him.
Guess what, folks? Guess what? Trooper Diaz is with us right now. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for being here.
You know what? You can thank us later for getting to hang out with the boss. You know, we're doing that. But seriously, when Colonel Milstead talked about you, by the way, you should know he was bragging about you.
Rightfully so.
He was using you as an example of not only of the danger that the men and women of Arizona DPS face, but how they respond and how they react to it, and that. After only being, how long have you been a trooper now?
For about a year and 6 months.
And 6 months. You've been involved in some pretty high-profile incidents. Incidents where you, I don't think it's exaggerating, you put your life on the line to help others and to save the citizens.
And recently, when we had Colonel Milstead, and he was talking about a quartzite incident, there was an arsonist who had set some structures on fire, and then a shootout ensued in the desert in the middle of the night, and you were one of the troopers responding. Tell us about that night and what all happened.
Well, we had a call of subject that turned some structures on fire and actually pulled a gun on one of the homeowners. We responded. We found out where he was at because it was pinged right there. We approached him, and pretty much we didn't know where he was at. He just ambushed us and started firing on us with a high-powered rifle. And
he was literally like created a, I'm going to use the term, a sniper's nest. He had a den in a little spot in the desert that he was lying down with weapons, trying to lure you into a trap.
Yes, and he did. I mean, he was trying to take as much as officers as he can, and he fired you know, a couple of rounds and struck one of the officers. He took two rounds, rifle rounds, in the leg. And, you know, our training, that's what they train us for. You know, it just kicks in just pretty much like auto, I don't want to say auto, you know.
Right.
Yeah, no. Muscle memory. It's muscle memory. Yeah.
And what I did, I returned fire, you know, suppressing fire. So the other trooper, McDonald, well, him as well, he's been involved in another shooting about a month prior to my shooting at Milepost 52. He automatically goes in there and, you know, he puts a tourniquet on, and I started just laying
down
fire.
And you're laying down suppressing fire. This sounds like a military operation where you're laying down suppressing fire so the other officer can go and rescue the wounded officer, for goodness sakes. Yes.
This one sounded – I'm sorry, Colonel. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and this is the middle of the night, just to set the stage. It's very, very dark. This guy that they're facing has a high-powered rifle with a laser sight, and he's wearing night vision goggles so he can see the officers that cannot see him.
All right, so we've got that's the most recent one,
that's
is that correct? Okay,
one,
good. Let's keep it like just that being the last one, shall we?
Yes.
But prior to that, there was another situation where you were in pursuit of somebody who had attempted murder. Is that correct?
That is correct. I because also what I do at the I-10. I mean, I'm sure you guys probably know. There's a lot of. It's a corridor for drugs. I mean, there's a lot of
I-10 from Phoenix to the California border, west.
Yes. Yeah. So what I do as well, I do you know, interdictions and stuff like that as well. So interdictions is trying to, you know, intercept you know, drugs, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. You know, for illegal
suspicious vehicles, suspicious people.
And I saw him, and I started you know, following him, and he was speeding, so that was, you know, I pulled him over and interact with them, and that's when dispatch told me that, you know, it was
came back and
said, so
okay, whoa, let's just stop there a second. You get that call from dispatch.
Yes.
What does that do to your mind, your body at that point in time?
Well, to be honest, they train us. Like I said, I've come from a you know, I used to work for the sheriff's department. And here they train you. I mean, it's all training. It's training and training, and that's what helps you out. So
good.
You always you're always thinking of what could happen. So there's never there's nothing that's normal.
You're prepared for you're prepared for the abnormal.
Yes. So
prepare for the worst.
Prepare for the worst all the time. So I pulled him over he was a murder suspect, so he took off, and I started, you know, chasing him. He jumped out, and at that time as well, I thought he was going to shoot at me because he did act like if he wanted to shoot at me. He jumped out of the middle of the freeway, you know, the highway. And,
oh, my goodness.
And I had my weapon out and ready to return fire, but he jumped back in, and he tried to, you know, get away from me, and he went wrong way and hit a...
Drove head-on into traffic. Oh, for God's
sakes. Oh, my goodness. All right, so we are talking to Trooper Diaz with DPS, as well as we've got Colonel Frank Milstead, the director of DPS, in studio. Trooper Diaz is here because his short time with the department there, about a year and a half, he's been involved in not one, not two, but three. We haven't even gotten to the third one yet. Shootings and protecting a really busy corridor on the I-10 there between Phoenix and California. And Colonel Milstead was sharing with us about how that has become dangerous. It's become, you know, drug smuggling, human smuggling. And so Trooper Diaz is seeing so much of that firsthand. And, well, you may have this image of officers in whatever, whether it is a sheriff's department, a police department, or within DPS that, you know what, they're involved in shootouts all the time. No, they're not. No, they're not. It's atypical. And to have an individual who has been involved with so many in such a short period of time, we wanted to get his stories. We want to continue to get his stories.
We're not done with you. You guys, well, all sit tight. I like Colonel Milstead barely getting a word in edgewise today. Kind of like that in and of itself.
Be nice.
We are joined in studio. DPS, the director of Arizona DPS, Colonel Frank Milstead, and Trooper Diaz is with us right now. We'll continue this discussion and learn more about, dare I say, what's changed? What is different out there? As you may this weekend be jumping in the car and headed to California, driving down I-10, what should you know? What is different between about Buckeye and Blythe? How's that? Boy, there's a drive I've taken more times than I care to remember. We'll talk about it next, right here on Arizona's News Station.
Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
And in studio with us right now, the director of the Arizona DPS, that is Colonel Frank Milstead, and Trooper Diaz, recently named Trooper of the Year, by the way.
All right, nice.
And the heavy hitters here. And Trooper Diaz is telling us about some of the incredibly dangerous, the types of things I think, honestly, I think it's what people think police officers are like. We know that law enforcement in general, that, you know, every day is not an episode of Starsky and Hutch. You know, it's not sliding over the roof of the car and shootouts and high speed chases. Are you lucky or unlucky that your life appears to be like that? That you keep these things are happening in your area, in your jurisdiction, for lack of a better term.
It's part of the job. I mean, that's what we signed up for, and that's what we do.
Yeah. Well, you do an amazing job of it, and we're awful thankful. And one of the things, and you mentioned this off air, and I want to bring it out there. What is different? What is different? And again, I'll use the I-10 corridor. If those of you are familiar, you're driving west out of Phoenix, you're heading towards California. You may meet Trooper Diaz along the way, or at least see him sitting on the side of I-10 with somebody else. But what is different from, for example, when Colonel Milstead's generation was coming up like that?
Well, the difference is now, I mean, there's a big movement now. I mean, a lot of people, to be honest, the media portrays us as, you know, sometimes crooked, you know, police officers, or, you know, that we're just out there, you know, just being mean, trying to abuse it and stuff like that.
Do most people treat you with respect on the side of the road, or is it a different,
I get both.
Okay. Sure.
Now the people, I mean, we have a lot of support. I go to the store sometimes and they ask, hey, can I buy you lunch?
Oh,
you
nice.
You know, can I buy you lunch? Or, you know, thank you for what you do. And that really means a lot to us. But at the same time, I have been on traffic stops and cars pass by and yell stuff at me that
really?
I can't say, you know, on the radio. But, you know, you get people that are hostile sometimes.
Sure.
They just get, you know, upset and tell you, you know, you're just abusing this and, you know, stuff like that. But again, that's part of the territory. I mean, like I said, you know, I grew up in an area where it was a, you know, gang influence. I had a lot of, you know, I've seen my fair share of gang violence, you know, my fair share of drive-bys. I had friends that were, they got hit innocent, but you know, they were innocent bystanders and got hit by stray bullets. But during that time, even the gang members at that time, when I grew up, talking about the, you know, 90s and 80s, they had some kind of respect towards law enforcement.
There was now, a code.
Yeah, there was, you know, even though knowing that they didn't like the police, there was a respect there. Now there's just no respect. It doesn't exist anymore.
Wow.
If you're just joining us right now, we are talking to Trooper Diaz, DPS Trooper of the Year. And Colonel Frank Milstead, the director of DPS, and Trooper Diaz, he's at the I-10 corridor, and I know a lot of people are going to be taking that freeway over the holiday weekend coming up. So, Colonel Milstead, beyond just, you know, I'm a big proponent of being polite and being nice, and whether or not you agree with someone, just having respect. So I think we should all have that for everyone. That includes law enforcement. That aside, help folks who are going to be traveling to places like San Diego or California over this long holiday weekend on that corridor there.
Yeah, absolutely. So the big deal is be prepared, have food and water with you in case you do get stuck in traffic. Stay out of the left lane unless you're passing. Try to let people continue to go by. Camp in the woods. Don't camp in the left lane. And just give each other a little time and a little respect, and everybody gets there safely. And our fatals are up 25% from last year. We've already had 140 people killed on Arizona highways this year.
Be safe.
So it's just be safe, be courteous.
You be safe out there, and Trooper Diaz, you stay safe out there as well. Thank you so much for making the drive in from Yuma today.
Thank you.
To be with us on the air and share your story. We appreciate you.
Good luck on the freeways this weekend, all right?
Thank you both for having us.
You guys be smart out there.
Pleasure's ours.
Well, we've got a check of the headlines on the way. It is obviously graduation time, right? Valley schools, colleges, universities. But as students, graduates, walk across that stage and get their diplomas, some of them might be asking, or maybe it's better to say their parents might be asking, is college worth it? We'll talk about it coming up next on Arizona's News Station.